you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel.
Good morning. Today we're going to be studying 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's called the Love Chapter. Paul is still talking to the Corinthians. They have certainly been in need of love, and one wonders why Paul has waited so long in his letter to start speaking about love. Because agape love solves so many problems of the flesh. If we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we will not be caught up with the works of the flesh. There's all kinds of songs that are written about love. Love's what makes the world go round. Everybody wants to be loved. We seem to think that other people should love us and give nothing in return to them. God first loved us. He sought us out. We didn't seek Him, but He sought us. And He gave the ultimate in love. He gave and asked nothing in return. But He did say those who would believe upon Him would receive eternal life. He offers it all, and it's our choice of what we want to do with it. The world cannot understand the love of God. They don't understand goodness. They don't even understand kindness and gentleness. The world is only concerned with itself. What's in it for me? God wants us to look at Him and what He has done. He wants us to turn our life over to Him and let us be ruled by His love. If we're ruled by His love, we won't have so many troubles and trials. That's not to say that they won't be there, but we will have such love of God that we will be able to overcome anything that comes our way. One scripture says, love covers a multitude of sins. And we know that love is the greatest of the attributes in the divine nature. And it says, when all else fails, love will still abide. Prophecies will fail, tongues will fail, all of our knowledge and our wisdom will fail, but love will continue. If you've ever lost someone close to you, and you had loved them with all your heart, it crosses your mind to wonder, how can the love that you have suddenly be stopped? How can it mean nothing? The truth of it is, it doesn't stop. It continues on. Even after someone is gone, you can still love them. And we know that in the world beyond, that our loved ones that we have loved, we will see again. My mother passed away many years ago, but I told her one time, I said, Mother, no matter how many times I tell you that I love you, it never seems to be enough. Do you ever feel that way? That it just never seems to be enough of telling someone that you love them. And no matter how you show them that you love them, it's just not enough. And I suppose that when Jesus died upon the cross, perhaps He felt the same way. He gave the ultimate price in love for us. He died for us. But to some, that's not enough. And to some, they trample His blood under their feet. It's a terrible thing for someone to offer you love and you refuse it. Love that's offered and refused shows the callousness of the heart. They don't understand the goodness and kindness that people would do to someone else. They feel like there's a gimmick there. They must want something else. It's some kind of a scam. The love of God And the true believer loves without condition and without reward. I knew a person once who had a relative who gave money to this person. And the relative was so callous in their thinking that when this relative gave them money, they looked at it as though there was more money there for the getting. And so they received the gift of that money as it being a potential for the money pot. There must be more there where this came from. That's a terrible way to think about a gift that someone gives to you. We must learn to give love. We must learn to receive love. That's what the Lord wants us to do. We talk so much about love in this chapter, and there's so many different ways that you can look at love that we could spend months upon this one chapter. But Jesus said that the two commandments that he gives, that all the law of the prophets hang on, is the law of love. To love others as you love yourself. And also to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. If we do those things, then we shall be in the perfect will of God. Many of us fall far short of that goal. We do lip service, but when we're really called on to show how much we love, we fall back. We also look through rose-colored glasses. We see how lovely we are and how evil others are, which is a high form of pride. When we can see each other as Christ sees us, then we truly have the love of God. We know that God's love endures the same as His mercy endures. There were divisions in the church at Corinth, and in one place that they were divided was over the working of the Holy Spirit within the church. And as we studied last week with the gifts of the Spirit, they quarreled and were jealous of one another, and they used the gifts for prideful purposes. But Paul tells them that they must be balanced with love. He speaks about God's love, which is called agape love, that God first loved us, so we love Him and we love one another. And that's what's called maturity in the church, and that's how we grow together. A certain speaker started off his seminar by holding up a $20 bill. "Who would like this $20 bill?" he asked. Well, hands started going up throughout the audience, and he said, "I'm going to give this $20 to one of you, but first, let me do this." And he crumpled up the bill. Then he said, "Who still wants this $20 bill?" Well, the same hands went up in the air. And he said, "Well, what if I do this to this $20 bill?" And he dropped it on the floor and he ground it into the floor with his shoe. He picked it up again. It was all crumpled and dirty. "Now, who still wants this $20 bill?" Again, the hands went up into the air. No matter what he did to the money, they still wanted it because it didn't decrease in value. It was still worth $20. And many times in our lives, we feel that we're dropped, crumpled, and ground into the dirt by the decisions we make and by others and the circumstances that come our way. And we may feel as though we're worthless. But no matter what's happened or what will happen, we never lose our value in God's eyes. We are priceless to Him, for His love endures forever. And His ways are far above our ways. And His love is so giving and so far above our love that sometimes we can't comprehend it. We can't realize how much He loves us, that He gave His only begotten Son to die for us. That should tell us. But somehow we seem dull of hearing. Now Paul talks about the importance of love. He's saying, "I don't care what language you speak or how spiritual you sound. Even if you can speak in tongues of angels, unless agape love is working in your life, you're just making a lot of noise. So he says agape love is the highest form of service to God. Then he talks a little bit about faith. Even though you have faith, or you possess prophecy, knowledge, no matter how many things you do for God that look spiritual, unless you have love, we don't make an impression on God. The Corinthian church had a lot going for them. They had the gifts in operation in the church, but they were out of balance. Paul even goes so far as to say, if you give away all your money, even if you give up your life, there'll be no reward unless your motivation is with God's love. Hollywood is caught up with love, but it's a selfish love. It's the kind of love that only responds to someone else's love. It comes and goes with emotions, and it's based on feelings. But not so with God's love. It's a divine love that's because of grace. Romans 5 and 8, he demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did something about his love. He gave his only begotten Son. So we see the importance of love because it is what brings us to salvation. Paul speaks in verses 4 through 8 that there's 15 virtues that shows us love, what it's like and what it does. He says for us to be patient. That's the hardest thing to be, is to be patient, isn't it? It seems I'm always waiting. I've said this before, but I know you probably feel the same way. I'm having to wait in line. I'm waiting on a phone call. I'm waiting for a certain day of the week. I'm waiting for someone else to do what they're going to do before I can do what I do. It's an endless cycle. But Paul tells us to be patient because God is with us. And we're waiting now patiently for Jesus' return. And we feel it's been delayed because we're impatient. But 2 Peter 3 and 9 said, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's an outpouring of the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Then he says that love is kind. Kind is evidenced by our actions along with patience. When we're led by the Spirit, our words and actions will be patient and kind. I believe rudeness is one of the major problems that we have today in our society. It's hard to be kind to someone who's not been kind to you. But the Scripture says that Jesus was kind to the unkind. He didn't resist evil. He let them do to him all the evil things they wanted to do. He didn't resist them. He didn't fight back. When they hit him on the right cheek, he turned to them the other. And he told us, if someone forces you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. And give to the one who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow. He said, you've heard that it was said to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. Because he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous alike. He is kind to the unkind. He also spoke of love as not being jealous or envious. Love is not covetous and is not sad when someone else is blessed. Love is not boastful. Love never puts another down and exalts themselves at the expense of someone else. Romans 12:9-10 says, love must be sincere, hate what's evil, and cling to what's good. We're to have brotherly love and honor one another above ourselves. And love is not proud. Pride goeth before a fall. Love has a gentle and quiet spirit that's of great worth in God's sight and is humble. It's not self-seeking. Love's the enemy of selfishness. The Bible says that God is love, and Jesus taught a new commandment to love one another as I've loved you. This is how men and women will know that we're His disciples if we have love one for another. Love is slow to anger. James 1:19-20 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And love doesn't keep a tally sheet of the wrongs that other people do to us. We don't feel we're a victim if we have love, because we're not keeping records of all the evil things that someone did to us. In the Lord's Prayer, he said, Lord, forgive my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. Also, he says that love does not rejoice in evil. Love is not glad when someone is hurting or is harmed. Love has joy in the truth and loves the truth. Love seeks out the truth and rejoices. Love will cause us to trust in God, believes all things, hopes for all things. Great hope is in love. Because we love the Lord, we have hope in Him. Hope works with love because love gives hope. Also, love perseveres. It doesn't quit. Even if it fails or falls, we still don't quit because of love. The Lord sustains us because of His love. We live by the Spirit, and we walk in the Spirit. And where does the Spirit lead? It leads us to love. In Galatians 5:22-23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The Spirit always will point us to agape love. That's what we want to walk in. We don't want to walk in the things of the flesh, such as hatred, variance, and strife. But we want to walk in love, and it will give us peace. This is the divine nature of our Lord that we partake of when we are born again. I want to read you a little bit of Max Lucado's book, A Love Worth Living. He said that several years ago someone challenged him to replace the word love in this chapter with his name. He said he did, and he became a liar. Instead of love is patient, he said Max is patient. Max is kind. Max does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. Well, Max says go no further. Stop right there, because those words are false. Max is not patient. Max is not kind. He said, ask his wife and kids. He said that this chapter has a standard he couldn't meet. No one can meet it. Not one, except Jesus Christ. This chapter is describing Jesus. He is patient. He is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. Jesus is not proud. He's not rude. He's not self-seeking, and he's slow to anger. and he didn't delight in evil, but he rejoiced in the truth. And Jesus always protects, and he trusts, and he hopes, and he always perseveres. Max said, rather than let this scripture remind us of a love we can't produce, we're supposed to let it remind us of a love we cannot resist, which is God's love. There are many that are so thirsty for this type of love. Those who should have loved us didn't. We may have been left at the hospital alone, left at the altar, left with a broken heart, left with the question, does anybody love me? Please listen to God's answer. God loves you, personally, powerfully, and passionately. Others have promised and failed, but God has promised and succeeded. He loves you with an unfailing love, and His love, if we will let it, can fill and leave us with a love worth giving. He invites us to come and partake of His love, which is unconditional. Richard Halverson was the chaplain of the U.S. Senate. Someone asked him about agape love being unconditional. He said, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. His love is unconditional, impartial, everlasting, infinite, and perfect. And it will endure. All else fails, but love still abides. It will continue. Verse 8 through 13 tells us that all the gifts will stop, but love will still abide. Paul tells us to put childish ways behind us. Don't exalt people above others. Don't elevate certain gifts above others. And don't divide over what God does here on earth, because soon Jesus will return and all these things will be done away with. All our worries and anxieties will mean nothing. The thing that will be important is if we have love or not. Here on earth we see our reflection in a poor quality mirror. During Paul's day, glass was in its infancy and mirrors were just a piece of polished brass, which didn't give a very good reflection. And in this life, things look distorted sometimes. And Jesus told us, don't be deceived. And he was meaning, don't be deceived by the cares of this life and this world, but look to love because it abides. And God is love. And in that day we'll see the Lord face to face and we'll understand His plan and His promises. We are blessed because we know about love. It's amazing how that people know about evil and they talk about evil, but we don't talk much about love, do we? Except a worldly type of love. A self-giving love is a rare thing, but that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be selfless in our love one for another. 1 Corinthians 13 and 13 says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. We know that there is a maturing process for the church as a whole and for the individual believer. We must grow in the Lord and in our maturity and in our love one for another. But this earthen treasure that we have, the kingdom of God within us, is full of love. We have to partake of it, though. We must partake of the divine love of Christ so that we will walk in the Spirit and in His will. I want to read you 1 Corinthians 13 in the New Living Translation. If I could speak in a language in heaven or on earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future, and I knew everything about everything, but I didn't love others, what good would I be? And if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, without love I would be no good to anybody. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love doesn't demand its own way, and love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it's been wronged. It's never glad about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith, and it's always hopeful. And it endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. But prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will all disappear. Now we know only a little, and even the gift of prophecy reveals little. But when the end comes, these special gifts will all disappear. It's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and I thought and I reasoned as a child does. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly as in a poor mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me now. There are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, I'm so thankful for love. I know that it's the answer to many problems that we have. If we could just love that person who doesn't love themselves, or we could just love that person who needs you so desperately. If we could love ourselves, Father, if we could love those about us, it would cause so many problems to disappear. And if we could just love you, Lord, we'd know your heart, and we'd know what you're about, and we'd know that you care about souls. You came to seek and to save the lost, and you came to destroy the works of the devil, and that you did. We pray, Father, that you will just help us to see you in the light of love, and to see others in the light of love, and follow truth instead of the lies of this world. I ask you to bless the hearers, Father. We ask you to forgive our sins and draw us closer to you, Father. We praise you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
It's a heavenly place, and He's leading.